Brexit is back to square one. Markets don't look too bothered. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. After yesterday's resounding rejection by the British Parliament of Prime Minister Theresa May's plan to manage Brexit, there was not a particularly harsh market reaction. The pound was even up for a bit. Susan Schmidt joins us regularly to help us figure out the market. She's head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Not much reaction to Brexit, huh?
I know. What a change from June of 2016, when the initial referendum went out, the vote came out, and it was a shock to the market. And the market, U.S. stock markets immediately went down. Today, we're seeing the U.S. stock markets basically ignore Brexit. They're focused on the data that they're getting in earnings releases. And yesterday had very little impact, in fact, no impact on the U.S. stock markets. Investors in the U.S. are really looking to earnings, the government, and the Fed to see how things are going.
Well, speaking of the Fed, we've heard little bits and pieces of what the Fed might be thinking regarding raising interest rates again soon. What are they telling us?
We've really seen that Powell pivot from December extend, and now not just Chairman Jay Powell, but other members of the Fed are out talking about how they want to be supportive of the economy. And even members who have been pro-interest rate hikes in the past are out giving speeches and talking to people, talking about how they think it's appropriate for the Fed to take a pause in interest rate hikes. I think that's a lot of support for the market. That's something that investors were looking for to make sure that there was a backstop. And the Fed obviously serves that purpose in having their openness towards not being on a set path of interest rate increases has given the market a lot of comfort.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, it's not actually that hard to make money in the stock market. If you cheat, hackers infiltrated the Securities and Exchange Commission from 2016 to 2017 and used the private information they obtained to make millions in the stock market. This is according to a filing by the Department of Justice yesterday against two Ukrainian men. The SEC also filed a related civil complaint. The hackers gained access to the SEC in part by phishing its employees, sending them emails that appeared to come from within the agency, but then infected their computers with malware. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been reviewing court documents to get a better idea of what happened. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Sabri.
So once they were in, what did these hackers do?
So the SEC has this filing system. It's where you can find the annual and quarterly reports that companies have to, publicly traded companies have to submit to the SEC. Also other information that the companies disclose to the government so the government can, you know, keep an eye on them. And so investors know what's going on at the company, decide if they want to invest, et cetera. It turns out this system lets companies upload test documents before a public filing. And those test documents are often similar to the real thing. So the hackers were able to see thousands of these test filings over the course of a year, copy them to a server in Lithuania, and get company information before it was released publicly, and then trade on that information. One of the hackers has actually previously been charged with a similar scheme, except instead of the SEC, he allegedly hacked Newswires again to get company information before it was released publicly.
So do we have a sense of how much money these guys made from doing this?
According to the SEC's civil complaint, over $4 million. And the DOJ actually offered an example of how it worked. Kind of dramatic. Want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, so a public company uploaded an earnings report at 3:32 p.m. back in May 2016. Within 6 minutes, the hackers stole the documents, saw that the company was predicting record earnings for the year. 4 minutes later, they start buying the company's stock, and by 3:59 p.m., they owned almost $2.4 million worth. The earnings report is then posted publicly a few minutes later at 4:02 p.m., and the value of the stock goes up, as the hackers knew that it would. And over the next day, they sold all that stock that they'd bought, making more than $2,700.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Tracy Samuelson, thank you so much.
Welcome.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Next week, the World Economic Forum takes place in Davos, Switzerland. High-profile business leaders, politicians, academics, nonprofit leaders all meet up to talk about the world's most pressing problems. Ahead of that, the forum issued its view of what the biggest global concerns are. This is its annual Global Risks Report. Climate change and cybercrime, it says, are major threats to the global economy. But the most urgent threat this year? Trade tensions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The report starts with a grim recap of last year's trade battles between the U.S. and China, and says Nariman Baravesh, chief economist at IHS Markets.
Our expectations about trade turmoil are higher now than they were a year ago.
Baravesh says with both sides digging in.
Nationalist tendencies in the U.S. and in China could trigger something far worse.
Like a 25% tariff on all Chinese imports. Baravesh says that would shave a half a percentage point off U.S. economic growth. Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at Stifel Fixed Income, says China and the EU have already taken hits because of trade and...
The weakness that we're seeing will in part force those respective governments to negotiate with the Trump administration.
Which may lead to some incremental progress at best. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
A couple weeks ago, Apple revised down its expectations of earnings for the first quarter of 2019. Now, one factor might be the fact that last year, Apple lowered its price for replacing iPhone batteries to just $29. Normally, 1 or 2 million people would pay to replace their batteries each year, but at that price, nearly 11 million people had their batteries replaced. Turns out, when your old iPhone can hold a charge, maybe you aren't as interested in buying a new $1,000 iPhone. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.